righty, welcome aboard. It's Fairfax and Fishtail. Mark and Larry here on a beautiful Sunday night, and when you say that, you can really mean it. It's 61 degrees here on the way to the station, Lair, and what a dandy day. The snow's melting. You can see your there's a lot of barren terrain down here in the metro area, Lawrence.
I want to know if there's any robins.
Nothing yet.
They're on the way.
They got to be. They have to be at some point. No, but it's the birds are really enjoying it. That's for dang sure. Can't fill the feeders up.
You know? I don't know why for today for me, the trees were really sticking out, because I know that just in some short time, there will be some buds going and they'll be leafing out. But they just looked awkward today because everything else was pretty sunny. And like you said, a lot of barren land, but still those kind of just gray, boring looking trees.
Deciduous trees are all looking as if they're dead.
Right.
You know, it's just amazing. I know it's a big word. Straczynski is in there looking at me like, you said what?
And you pronounced it perfectly.
Thanks, Lawrence. I do appreciate that. He's wearing a T-shirt and a stocking cap and sporting a tan.
I'm getting
what
a real
color
bad
is
echo.
Your world, Stru? I think I poked the sleeping bear, Lawrence. He's coming in. He's coming in hot.
I got to talk to you because you talk about sporting a tan. I need some advice.
Where are you going?
I'm supposed to go to Panama Canal March 17th. Do I go or not?
Bring your shovel.
Do I need my coronavirus?
I got some Lysol right here for you, Stru.
If you're going to Panama, all you need is a leather thong and a roach clip.
Write that down. Larry, did that take care of your echo thing? Is it better?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yep,
good.
It's gone.
Good. No, it's just wonderful down here. And as Brandon was saying, I mean, you just look around outside, and I mean, water's running all over the place. You know, we've talked all winter on the show about, you know, our brooks and creeks and rivers have been flowing, and there's a lot of water in the play right now, buddy.
And thanks to daylight saving time, it's 7 o'clock and it's still daylight.
Yeah, you wouldn't know it around the station here. I mean, it probably takes an effort to set these two clocks we've got.
What time is it?
It's 6 o'clock. No, 5 after. Oh, wait a minute. Nice 5 after 7. There you go. Oh,
when I
funny.
Got up there last night, Jeannie told me to, you know, set my clocks ahead. And I said, "What? We're retired. We can wait till tomorrow to do that."
You know, you have a point there, Lawrence. You could. What's the hurry, right?
I don't need to be any place on time.
You don't want to be any place on time.
I saw Pat Sajak had a great tweet today. Was because people are complaining about losing an hour of sleep. And he's like, "Yeah, we did lose an hour, but we gained 24 on February 29th, so we're still up 23 for the year."
There you go. That's a cool point.
We took the day off.
Yeah.
The 29th of, you mean on the 29th?
Mm-hmm.
What did you say?
Yeah.
Gained 24 and 29.
Yeah.
Okay.
29.
Yeah, we got 24 extra hours, right? Oh, well. But, I mean, it's like, what do you do? I started cutting down snow banks and dragging it into the driveway and dumping bucketfuls of snow. It was just, you had to be outside doing something. You know?
You mean to speed up the melt?
Yes.
Now, across the street this afternoon, I looked there and in our basketball court, Mark, of course, you know that, right?
Yep.
And there's a couple feet of snow out there. And I suppose it was probably about 8 years ago, this time of year, I took my snowblower out there.
I was going to say,
On a nice day. And, well, by God, there was a young man out there. He blew off part of the court, and of course, it'll help the melt.
Oh, yeah.
And he blew out a pretty, you know, guy can go out and shoot free throws. It was about close to 50 up here today, I think.
That's pretty good.
Get out a lot, but I was out yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I finally decided if I wanted to eat any fish, I'd have to go south for some crappies or sunfish, because I can't. No one that I know of has found the crappies.
They're gone.
On my side of the lake.
That's odd.
On our side of the lake. Well, I don't know.
You got to go up to either the Cribs Or that one school of fish in Black Bay, right?
Yeah, that same crib they talk about. Nobody even... Those cribs, by the way, folks. They put those cribs in. No one fishes them. There's a couple of cribs that are pretty good, I guess. I'm talking to the locals.
Yeah.
But most of them were just a waste of time.
Yeah, they evolved into nothing.
Yeah, and in low water, you don't want to hit one of them. You know.
No. No, you don't, because they come up close.
Anyway, the fishing up here is slow, but I did go south to a little lake 40 miles south of here,
mm-hmm.
and caught some nice crappies, a few, and a pretty good bluegills and a giant perch, and I cleaned them up, and I ate them today.
Very nice.
So now I'm really healthy.
Very nice. Well, yeah, if you're...
A lot of brain food.
If you're on a fish diet such as that, you're really cooking.
I need it.
Omega-3s.
Well, yeah, it's all good. Yep. Well, I let my vacation time spent with my good buddy Scott and Nancy. Well, Scott and Nancy are buddies, Scott and Nancy Bonema. We had a blast on an Isle Mirada, bud. And we caught the heck out of them. The weather was crummy. Windy.
Really?
Oh. Windy virtually every day. But, you know, there's a lot of differences between saltwater fishing and freshwater. One, the standing joke from... A buddy of mine down there says, remember, fish, saltwater, you're in the food chain. So, you know, you just don't dangle your fingers and toes over the side. But, no, it was interesting because though it blew hard, if you could get out and run and get behind some of the big islands and fish the deep-cut banks against the mangroves, you could find some fish. And early in the morning, typically, would be the calmest. Though the winds were probably, you know, in the 8 to 10, 15 mile an hour range, and get out on the flats and fish for cobia, and then trout fishing on the flats in wherever there are weed beds. So there's a lot of things to go and try, and it's just amazing. You just don't know what you're going to go for that day, and until you go, hey, let's go see what's behind this island. You know, and you go over there and you just, it's just go to it. A lot of fun.
Rub it in, pal.
It was. I mean.
Because I haven't had a spinning rod in my, well, other than the ice fishing rod, you know.
Right.
You know, so you got how was your elbow and everything, your casting ability come right back?
It came right back. You know, we threw spinning gear all the time, mm-hmm. For the most part. And, you know, but you would have a blast fishing the mangroves. You know, what's really funny too is a lot of times in saltwater, your skill sets from river fishing apply with the tides, and when the tide is going out to sea, so to speak, leaving the bays, it creates different kind of movement for the fish. You know, if the say for instance. You're fishing mangroves, which are like trees, big bushes, and they come out from the shorelines, and snook and redfish will run through the root systems of these trees, and those root systems can be in these deep cut banks 3 to 4 feet deep, and when the current is really strong, these fish go up underneath and they get out of the current. When there's a little bit of current moving because the tide is receding or coming in, those fish will come out to those seams, just like river fishing, Lair.
Mm.
And it's really fun because you can position your casts to either cast and skip up underneath the mangroves or target fish and get up current and allow your bait to drop down deep while it's sinking on a quarter-ounce jig and just kind of float under the structure.
Did you use any live bait at all, or you just go... Artificial all the way.
We mixed it up, you know, because sometimes you go through with artificials and then you come back through with live bait and, you know, you pick up a few more. But
Do you net your own, or has he got skills in netting his own? Or
Reach into your pocketbook and buy them. It's easy.
Okay, that's that kind of skill.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good kind of skill.
Yeah, you know, you buy the fuel, ice, and bait in the morning and go.
Yeah.
You know, that's the game down there.
Well, I was just wondering. I mean, you know, it'd be kind of fun to throw them nets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's
because you might forget to let go.
Well, you know, yeah. There's a skill to that, too. Yeah.
Skill, yeah.
But it was fun. And Kobe are like, Scotty cracked one that was about 50 pounds.
Ooh, and that's good fish.
And if you would love that because you're fishing. We're fishing around, you know, when the hurricanes came in, and we're probably 30 miles, 20 to 30 miles out on the flats out of a Florida bay, so to speak. And on these flats, there were a lot of trees that were dumped because of the hurricanes. And some of them got washed out to sea, but some of them stayed. And where they stayed on these, you know, 3 foot, 4 foot flats, they create because of the current going in and out every day.
Oh yeah.
It's a washout around that tree. So you kind of use your peripheral vision if you don't know where the trees are, and you just kind of run till you see a real light spot and then a dark spot in the middle of it, and it's a tree. And you get back and you cast, and you're going to get grouper. But if you're lucky enough, the cobia go to that type of structure on these flats. And if you catch one, they're a powerful fighting fish. It's just a blast. So, yeah, everything's got an attitude down there. That's the one thing. And
the weather was good enough that yes. You were able to be out. Who needs hot sun when you're fishing?
Yep.
Right?
That's true.
I mean, you know, so maybe it was a good thing.
Yeah. It was. You know, you just go. You know, we take the bay boat and, you know, it's got a 250 on it, 24 feet and center console. And you can take it better than you can running around in the smaller skiffs, you know, that are typically used in inshore fishing, but all in all, it was just a lot of different things. But there were two highlights, and I'll share those with you because you would love it. You would have loved it. The one day we caught between 60 and 80 snook on one shoreline.
Oh.
18 to 22, 23 inches. It was just unbelievable. They were just piled up on the shoreline. I think because of the heavy winds brought them around. And you had the current sweeping from one side of the island to the other side of the island, and these fish were all on this deep cut bank, and it was just lights out. Just here again, casting and thunk, it was light. You set the hook, and they go like heck. But the other highlight was we were down at the very bottom on an inland lake called Lake Ingram, and that's in the Everglades, and the river flows out. That's basically on the very bottom of Florida. And we went and fished. There were a lot of boats in there because of the winds. And we were fishing a shoreline. And we were catching fish on the bank, making casts about 25 to 30 feet to the bank layer.
Mm-hmm.
You'd catch a fish and you'd bring it back. And before you got it to the boat, it was eaten by a shark. Every fish we caught. So here again, the tide went out. You can see. There was lake bottom, obviously, around you, but the deep cut areas were still flush with water. But when the flats lose their water, guess what? The sharks dump to the pools. And we had hummingbird side imaging on, and on both sides of the boat, you could see sharks. It was just hilarious. They're cruising. And these were, I don't know, 10 to 12-foot sharks that were just swirled by the boat. Just about the time you'd get that snook or redfish about 5 feet from the boat, whoosh, they'd hit. It was just hilarious.
Were there different species or mostly lemon sharks? Or?
Yeah, you're right. Lemon and bulls. They were lemon and bulls.
No,
yeah.
Bulls are... Well, you're not going to go wading under
no,
those circumstances.
No.
Because bull sharks are relatively more dangerous than...
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So it's like... Well, let's not try and identify the species. Let's just keep the fingers in the boat, you know?
Yeah.
But it was fun, so we had a great time.
And if that 10-foot shark wants to eat your snook, he's welcome to it.
Oh, there was one beautiful redfish that just bit the dust. Scotty had it on. It was just a dandy.
Well, but, I was going to ask you, going back, I can't remember how many years ago, a lot of snook died off, and
yes,
I don't know if you guys were going down there yet during that period already. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might have been because you were with Rapala now for quite a while, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so that's all healed now? I mean,
yes, and that,
you know, remember, all good.
Yep, remember we had Rick Murphy on the show.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Because Rick Guy lives in Homestead and guides out of Flamingo, which is where the Everglades State Park is, National mm-hmm. Park is rather, mm-hmm. and it was that whole area there, that ramp and the river system in there, that all those fish died, and it's definitely rebounded. It's just amazing how that thing reloaded in a short period of time. And I would say, I'm going to guess 8 years ago. Does that sound about right, Larry?
Yeah, time flies.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But, no, fishing is alive and well down there, and there's a lot of activity. The coronavirus has slowed down the airports. Restaurants were quiet.
I hear ticket sales are real cheap, or like ticket, you know, flights.
Oh, I would imagine.
Cruises.
But it was amazing. I'm glad we got home. You know, everything's fine. But you could tell in the airports things were definitely quiet. And restaurants in general, you know, there's a lot of people just not traveling.
Well, you know, because everybody's panicked over it.
Oh, they are.
More people have died from general flu this by far.
Yep.
Every year, and strangely, a lot of people don't even bother to get the shot. Now, a flu that may not be any more dangerous than, we don't really know for sure, but it doesn't seem to be so far. It caused panic.
Yep. I hear you.
They'll probably cancel the sports show in Minneapolis. I wouldn't be surprised.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised. So.
So anyway,
we'll see what happens.
Well, slow down.
The Deer and Turkey Classic this weekend will be kind of a test. We'll see what happens there.
You know what? You're talking to a lot of healthy, hearty folks. Not
right.
that we can't get hit, but we've dealt with a lot of adversity. Those that go to the outdoors, you know, I don't know. If you're going to get it, you're going to get it.
Pretty strong
the
immune systems.
They're dangerous to guys my age. I mean, you know, and the odds of me getting it and dying are about 1 in 10 billion.
Right, you younger guys, you younger guys under 100. You know,
you guys, you young guys aren't as tough as us old guys because we've been drinking beer and whiskey so long, ain't nothing can live inside of us.
You have a callous system.
But I mean, seriously, folks, come on, you know,
exactly.
Be smart,
relax,
be smart, wash your hands. A lot.
Just
simple
do
stuff.
It. Yeah, exactly.
And if some guy has got a runny nose, stay away from him. Don't give him a hug.
Yeah, please.
Hey, on a brighter note, I did get a couple messages in for you, Larry. We got Billy in Carver County, and Mike in Owatonna are both getting robins. So they saw.
Oh, they are.
Yep, there's some robin sightings today.
Hot dang.
Oh, fish, they're close to you already. When your snow is gone, they'll show up. So
they'll probably be here tomorrow.
I got a ways to go. I'm telling you, there's a lot of snow on the ground.
All right, we're going to come back. Bear Facts and Fish Tales, Mark and Larry. Oh, before, we want to thank Mr. Larry Hansen for coming live in studio last week. Right, Lawrence?
Larry was his usual self. Kind enough to fly in there because I was cut off the air.
You were?
Yeah.
Well, for about 20 seconds, but...
Oh, well.
You know, and I got back on.
Uh-huh.
I think when that happens, by the way, right? I'm saying it's right on the air, Brandon.
Yeah.
I know when it happens. Or no, you tell me, Larry, I can't hear you, and then I'll shut it off and start over again. And
very
every
good.
Every time I've done that so far, it came back
comes
on.
Comes right
Who
back.
Knows why?
Cool.
What? Yeah. I do it from this end, shut it off. Go back on. So anyway, we'll try that and see what happens. If
Sounds
it happens
good.
Again.
Sounds good. All right, with that, we're going to take a short pause. Be right back.
A night full of the important stuff. Bob Outdoors keeps trolling along with more Bear Facts and Fish Tales next.
This is the Big One, the Minnesota Weapons Collectors Association's biggest and best gun show at the Minnesota State Fair Coliseum this weekend. Antique to modern arms, accessories, and sporting collectibles, open to the public and all in one place. Buy, sell, or trade firearms, accessories, and collectibles. The Minnesota Weapons Collectors Association show at the Minnesota State Fair Coliseum, Saturday 8 to 5 and Sunday 9 to 3. For more information, visit MWCA.org. That's MWCA.org.
Here's Bollig for Frankie's.
Number one Ranger dealer in the world. Because he gives the best prices, because he's almost always there, And because he sells Ranger boats, of course, that's what he sells. Bass boats, walleye boats, fiberglass and aluminum, pontoons, whatever it takes. He's got them there. Maybe you just need an outboard motor. He loves that as well. Doesn't matter what brand, he can get them all, and he can get them all at the best price in town. Now, we have an 8-stall service center and a new showroom. You can drive on up to Chisago City and see what's on display up there. By the way, a used boat should be fairly easy to come by because he's selling a lot of new ones. He has a service center with eight stalls, and his boys, Joe and Bud, they're the head wing nuts in the back, and they've been rigging these expensive boats for years and years and years and repairing outboard motor problems as well. That's why they're in business. That's why they're number one. If you haven't purchased a boat yet and you haven't thought about Frankie's, well, you're making a mistake. Get on up there or call them at 651-257-6334 or go online, frankies.net. And, of course, if there is a sports show, he'll be there as well. That's Frankie's in Chisago City, Minnesota.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
If you or someone you know has a great mechanical aptitude, understands trailers, can weld, and is looking for a great place to get a new job, Crystal Welding wants to talk to you. Crystal Welding is your go-to welding and fabrication shop for solutions, service, and results. And they're looking for a trailer mechanic to start immediately. Work for Crystal Welding because they're great people who get the job done right the first time. So if you or someone you know is looking for a new welding job, contact Crystal Welding at crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No jobs are small because we do it all.
Now, more Bear Facts and Fishtails with Mark and Larry. Join in the show by calling 763-450-0100.
All righty, we're back. Bear Facts and Fishtails. Goodbye, Thunder Island. This one is all about summer. Brandon, you did it, bud.
Love it. Jay Ferguson.
I have no idea
what you guys are talking about.
This song, I sanded so much Bondo on my 38 Plymouth in high school when that song.
That would be a perfect song for that occasion.
No,
that
I'm not.
That song was back then?
Yeah.
I don't believe I've ever heard it.
Well, it's kind of a deep cut.
The next break.
Yeah.
Will do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get you acclimated. Well, before we go much further, we've got to congratulate Hank Cherry for winning the Bassmaster Classic and on Gunnersville Lake. And our own Minnesota Seth Fighter finished fourth. Congratulations to Seth. He's really lighting it up and having a good time, Lair.
Well, I watched that, but
yep.
It didn't show the last day, and it didn't show where he ended up. I know he was in the top 10.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, he made a big surge. He was in 14th, I thought, going into the last day.
Oh, he was that far. I know I saw his name on a leaderboard. They go down about 20.
So that's really gutting it out. I mean, when you make a big 10-position move on the last day and other guys are struggling, that's huge. So congratulations to him. And our other good buddy, Dave Gustafson, or Jeff Gustafson from Ontario, Kenora, Ontario. He finished 31st, so hats off to them and all the others that competed in the Bassmaster Classic. What an honor to get there.
That's all. I got to do is I got to sit there and watch them fish on television. It's a sad, sad day. I'm even into kayak tournaments now.
Are you?
I'm telling you, if I was a little bit younger, not that I couldn't drive one, you know, but they're not cheap. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to spend $10,000 for a kayak.
Why not? Why not? You're not putting gas in a boat.
I know, but you know what I mean?
You can afford to drive all over now.
That's a lot of fun.
Yep.
These guys, and there's some pretty good money in that kayak tournament. I can't even believe how big tournament fishing's gotten since 1975, five when I or six when I fished my first one.
Yeah.
Ever.
Come a long way, Lawrence.
They're everywhere.
They have monofilament line now. Did you know that?
Yeah, well, mono I've been using since the 50s, before you were using it. I'm going to tell you that, pal.
I still, yeah, you're right. I grew up with Gudbrod, the green and white. Yeah.
I mean, I was actually there when monofilament came out.
I remember making that first cast on a Zebco, and the line came out of that spool like it was a clear slinky. It was just
spiral.
Just like, a lot of memory.
What is this? You know, and you got a leader with the snaps the size of a clevis on a crane.
I'm so old, we waved our line out of grass way back a long time ago.
That's too bad.
Know, yeah, that's old.
Well, you'll be pleased to know I couldn't take it any longer. I got home, I looked at what the temperature was going to be there, and I dove in and completely rigged my boat yesterday, except for dropping it off with Hess to get it all wired up. It's done. Everything installed, talons, locators, trolling motors, 360. A lot of drilling, Lair. And I...
Did you make any mistakes? I love to hear about mistakes.
I didn't. I put a couple brackets on when I mounted my talons. I had the flipping, or the plates, tilt plates backwards, but no big deal. Take the nuts and bolts off and spin
so
them
nothing
around,
really bad. I mean, you know, like putting a hole through the boat.
Nothing. Every time I had the drill in my hand, I thought about it, and it always scares me when I when I go drilling through the bow to put the long screws through, and it's like,
because you're not really sure. You're not really sure where the floor is.
Oh man, your heart, you stop breathing for a while. If you don't, you're kidding yourself. You know, you've got a 3-inch drill bit, and you're putting in 3-inch screws. Guess what? You're gonna go somewhere. Yeah.
But you got her almost done.
Yeah. I'm good enough where I can trailer it, drop it off, and pick it up the next day. So that's okay.
Well, it's a good feeling because you actually could go down to Red Wing next week if you feel like it.
Yeah, that's right.
You could actually go fishing in the backwater areas and get some white bass on spinnerbaits, if you felt like it.
That's very true.
Uh-huh.
I'd even
or maybe
run the,
a northern pickerel.
I'd even run the marinas with jerkbaits.
You can.
Slow.
Not that you're going to catch anything, but, you know.
I could catch a brown trout again. Oh, that was fun.
Well, the water down there, I mean, yeah, it'll be, it's all there. I do envy that every year. I say the same thing. I miss the Mississippi River.
Yep.
Because I could go down there tomorrow, and I could right now. I could call up my buddy, the Grizz.
And say, let's go.
Let's go. I could drive all the way down there, 4.5-5 hours.
That's worth it.
And then come home, 4.5-5 hours.
That's not a problem.
That's not a problem.
All in a day's work. All right, we've got a caller on the line. Brandon, who do we have, buddy?
We do. I got Zach from Buffalo. He wants to talk bull sharks. Zach, you're on with Mark and Larry.
Hey, Zach, how you doing?
If I was any better, I'd be twins.
There you go. What's happening
and
tonight?
Boys, I appreciate the show. Hey, I got a question and then maybe a comment. I got a question for y'all.
Yeah.
Now remember, I'm a Minnesota transplant, so I finally came home to heaven.
Okay.
I've been here about 3 years. I live up here in Buffalo.
Yep.
You know what the easiest thing to catch in Minnesota is?
A cold.
A liberal.
Yeah.
Anyway, but what I was thinking is I want to say thank you to all the hardworking people out there. I'm so happy to be in Minnesota. But what I'm most really excited about is that I've been here about 3 years and we ain't had no spring, so I'm thinking we're gonna have a spring this year. I think those bass, because everybody always wants the walleye and they want a good pike, and it's nice to have a perch, but the bass up here in Pulaski, because it's spring fed, I'll tell you what, we got largemouth, we got smallmouth, we got rock bass, we got a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking forward to spring. Now, my real question is with us, really, God willing, to have a spring. What should I be fishing for? Because I'm a land guy. I don't have a boat.
Yeah.
Should I be doing leeches, or should I be doing chubs?
Well, what are you going to fish for? Crappies right away? As soon as there's ice leaves?
He's talking a lot about bass.
I know,
anything,
but...
Anything biting, and right. I don't keep them, I throw them back.
Yep.
Well, you should eat some crappies, because there's too many of them.
So when I do catch crappie, I don't have to feel bad putting them in my bucket?
Nope.
No. You don't need to keep your limit, you know. Keep about 6-7 of them and fry them up. They're very good eating, especially early in the year. And have at it from shore with a bucket of minnows and a bobber, and maybe even a cold one or maybe a warm one, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And there's lots of places in Minnesota to fish crappies from shore.
Yeah.
Lots of places. Pulaski, I don't know. I know where to go there and shore, but they're surrounded by houses. I don't know how you'd get...
But, yeah.
Well, I go to the park here.
Okay.
There's a little park by my house.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
I go real early in the morning, just about 30 minutes from sunup, because I'll tell you what, I've lived a lot of places, and one thing is so beautiful about Minnesota is the colors in the sky at sunrise and sunset. Now,
yep.
Do you think those fish, can they see those colors or what?
Odds are not like we do.
You know, really?
Yeah, that's a different.
The lake,
yeah. But you know, to answer your question, you know, a lot of people go out and we'll start with crappie minnows in the spring of the year, but you know, you could start with waxworms, something very simple. You know, oftentimes the fish don't necessarily need to have something swimming. You could use a set bobber, and just very slowly just wind it in. Just a scent of waxworms can sometimes trigger and keep your offerings small as far as your lure goes. If you're into a real active area, obviously you can go to a plain hook and a minnow if that's the case on a set line. But look for areas on any lake you're going to go to that might have just some warmer water feeding into that lake, someplace where there might be a creek or a runoff. Those are the spots you want to be in front of right away.
Well, keep up the good work. I love Bob Country. And one more thing. Trump 2020, baby. I love you guys. Keep up the good work.
There you go. Bye-bye. Yeah. Thanks. All right. Nice call. But,
Little Pulaski. If you can get into Little Pulaski by land, that's where I'd go.
All right.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to get fielded with that question a lot. But, you know, talking about springtime fishing and, you know, we've talked about warm, mucky bays. We've talked about look for reeds and emergent vegetation that's fallen over that these fish will go to any place that's warm. But, you know, little creeks or even little areas where runoff occurs from either melting snow or rain that can dump into a back channel or a back bay, any place that can bring warmer water in the form of water, is a great area to start.
And on the lakes that are still frozen now, you know, now's the time when the panfish, if there are good green weeds in shell, it's the time to go fish the weed lines now, too, on lakes. And there's just so many little things that you can do to make a difference by reading, by talking to experienced anglers. Every lake is different, all that stuff.
Yep.
But that's fun. It's just fun.
Yep. And remember,
I had a ball yesterday catching little fish. You know, through the ice.
You can.
It's like a little kid.
You can. Yeah. Speaking of which, I guess the House and the Senate have it going about the two-line program, Lawrence.
Well, I saw something that made me even happier than that, but go ahead with the two-line thing, and I'll tell you what really made me happy about what's going on.
No, it's in the House and the Senate for taking a look at that bill, so we'll see what's coming up. And, you know, obviously there's pros and cons on both sides of it, and people that are for and against it. So we'll see what shakes. But it's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Would you, as politics go, that this particular bill gets slid in on something else?
Oh, I mean, listen, I just can't. I'm not even gonna argue one way or other about it anymore. You only need one line, but that's just grumpy old there.
No. It's a lot of.
But it is amazing, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, yep.
Fish, did you see where they're thinking about legislating, putting out some restrictions on wake boats?
Yes.
Yeah. Not that that wouldn't be a good thing, you know, but they do a lot of damage to the lakeshore. It just as any big boat that no one ever talks about on Lake Minnetonka, 45, 50 feet long, with a 3-foot in-depth keel and 7-foot waves even at 2 miles an hour.
Yep. Yeah.
Did you follow that, Mark?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I remember the years where we were told to stop within 200 feet of shore on Lake Minnetonka.
Right.
Remember? And it's hard. It's very hard. But that's one. And when we come back, we'll talk about the other ones. One obviously has to do with getting the let out. That's coming there our way again. That's in the House and up for voting upon. And also, the loon money was finally released. It said that the federal government has finally released the BP Deep Horizon oil spill money that had been held since last November when the Senate Environment and Natural Resource Finance Committee met last February. Well, they finally released it, and they're going to put $1.27 million for the Get the Let Out program.
Oh, is that to save the loons?
Of course.
So they took that money, which we could have put back, and we could have gave it to a bunch of poor families.
I think that's enough to give.
Bird that is in no danger of being extinct.
Correct.
I think that's enough to give every American $1 million.
Hey, if you got to be.
Let's talk about that.
Well, the whole point, you know, going forward is if you can't buy votes, what are you in politics for?
Did you hear about that deal on one of the stations that said he could have gave everybody in the United States $1 million?
Yeah, Mike Bloomberg, because he spent $500 million on advertising.
Right.
So the geniuses.
It kind of went over my head, too, you know. At first I thought, well, yeah, you know, then I was like, wait a minute. He could give 500 people $1 million.
Right.
It's a math thing.
Or every American $1.52 or whatever it was.
No, listen to this. He could give 56,000 people $1 million.
Yeah.
And he'd be broke. He could give 56, that's how rich he is, 56,000 people. Do the math, which I did.
There you go. With that, we'll get out of our math class right now and take a short pause. Yeah, I can see it from here. You're listening to Bear Facts and Fish Tales on the Mighty Bob Radio Network. Inviting your phone calls at 763-450-0100. We'll be right back.
Bob Outdoors continues with Mark and Larry on Bear Facts and Fish Tales next. Remember, your calls are welcome at 763-450-0100. That's 763-450-0100.
The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com.
Here's Bolig for Vexilar.
Did you know that they've been in business for 60 cotton-picking years, and I'm one of their original customers? That's how old I am. And I still have it. It's an FL8, which is their first-ever three-color flasher, and it still works. And now I use the top of their line. Of course, I use the top of their line, which is the FLX28. Now, you almost have to go online because they carry so many different products and they're not always in your favorite stores. If you go online, you'll see they have a whole plethora of different ice fishing packages from the FL8 all the way up, about seven or eight different models up to the FLX28 at different price points. But whatever price point they are, they'll help you catch more fish. It's a given. You absolutely catch more fish using a Vexilar. Now, they have many accessories as well in there. You can buy a thing called a glow ring, which you can hook up to a battery and put your glow-in-the-dark lure in there and charge it. They also have a DD100, which is a little gizmo you can attach to your older model Vexilar, so you get a digital readout. Now, my FLX28 has a digital readout. It has a color selector. I can use five different color combinations, all kinds of fancy things. Vexilar, whatever you do, you can call them at 952-884-5291 or go online, vexilar.com, to see all they have to offer. For whatever you're going to do, do not leave home without your Vexilar. I use mine in my boat as well, by the way.
If you or someone you know has a great mechanical aptitude, understands trailers, can weld, and is looking for a great place to get a new job, Crystal Welding wants to talk to you. Crystal Welding is your go-to welding and fabrication shop for solutions, service, and results. And they're looking for a trailer mechanic to start immediately. Work for Crystal Welding because they're great people who get the job done right the first time. So if you or someone you know is looking for a new welding job, contact Crystal Welding at crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. Your jobs are small because we do it all.
This is The Big One, the Minnesota Weapons Collectors Association's biggest and best gun show at the Minnesota State Fair Coliseum this weekend. Antique to modern arms, accessories, and sporting collectibles open to the public and all in one place. Buy, sell, or trade firearms, accessories, and collectibles. The Minnesota Weapons Collectors Association show at the Minnesota State Fair Coliseum, Saturday 8 to 5 and Sunday 9 to 3. For more information, visit MWCA.org. That's MWCA.org.
Let's get back to the important stuff. Bear facts and fishtails. Join the conversation by calling 763-450-0100 right now.
Hey, you're listening to Bob FM, and this one goes out to Larry in International Falls. It's Thunder Island by Jay Ferguson.
Yeah.
You two at home can sing along. All right, we're back. Bear Facts and Fishtails, Mark and Larry, with a special request for Larry and I Falls.
Well, I
did you like
don't
that?
Remember it.
You don't?
No, I do not remember it, and I'm sorry.
Must have been right after the Brill Cream commercials.
Well, I had a rough life. You know?
Oh.
It could have been one of those periods that song was popular that I just wasn't around.
All right.
You know,
say did Biden,
like Joe Biden.
Did you get your? Yeah, right.
Did you not get a political your... thing.
Oh, did you get your daylight savings time all tended for sure? Are you good?
Yep, I actually noticed my car wasn't corrected. This afternoon, I had a stop pulled over the side of the road and get that done.
Mm.
And then I noticed my watch. I noticed that at, I think it was 6 o'clock this evening, when I was wondering what time it was, what time the show was going to turn. I had to turn that.
Well, you did it well, you know.
Yeah.
7 to 9 for how many years?
Yeah, well, I mean, I could have been late.
Could have. You never are. You're always punctual. Punctual.
Actually, well, it's a little easier from here.
Like a buddy of mine's dad said, if you're not early, you're already late.
Yeah, to be, I like, there's like a Navy saying, like, to be early is to be on time. To be on time is to be late, and to be late is unacceptable.
There you go.
I used to get there early and wait till 5 minutes to walk in.
Yeah.
Then
whichever.
You're there early and you're not annoyingly early.
Right, because that's also an issue. You can't be too early.
No, God, no. Especially if you're coming to my house for supper.
All right,
no,
we've
I
got
to put up with you. Yeah.
We've got callers, Brandon.
We do. I got Jack Baker on the line. Jack, you're on with Mark and Larry.
Are you still stomping around on the ice, Jack?
Oh yeah.
Attaboy.
We just got done on Lake Bemidji. Got a little sunburn going,
ooh,
but it was a great day.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Nice. Well, what was the turnout? Those lumberjacks up there are a lot. There's a lot of trunk sneak anglers in that crowd, you know.
Oh yeah, we held our high school qualifier yesterday on Saturday, and Bemidji team won it, and two Brainerd teams took second and third. So we'll be heading to the high school national championship and compete for scholarships. So that was a good gig.
Nice.
And we followed that up with our kids' ice camp and ended up 27 kids we gave rods to. So
wow.
Hey, we had one that stayed indoors, and we have jigging tubes where we teach them how to jig and
yep.
how the lures move. And we had one kid, I'm not kidding you, he had to be there for 20 minutes. He would not give up that jigging tube. He was going to jig. Dad, watch me do it. Here's how you do it.
Mesmerized.
It was fantastic.
Good deal. You got to love it when you see it, and when you see kids get fired up about it.
Oh, tremendous. I mean, it was so fun. Actually, the Bemidji High School guys were on fish so well yesterday, they jumped into the main qualifier today, and I think they pulled off enough points that they'll make the actual full national championship. So
good deal.
It was a good weekend to be a kid.
So when's the championship going to be? When is it going to happen, and where is it going to be at?
The regular championship for, you know, the guys is the weekend before Christmas.
Okay.
So like the 18th, 19th up at Pinehurst, north of Detroit Lakes, Nanishwa.
Okay.
And the high school championship will be the weekend after Christmas. So a full week after, which puts us about January 1 and 2, but the kids will be on vacation. And that'll be up in Isle Bay out of McCoy's Resort. So
nice.
We got them both covered, and it's good. You know, the sad part is it's the last qualifier of the year, but, you know, it's got to end sometime, but you hate it to go quick.
Yep, that's true. Well, open water is all that's left then, you know, and so
yeah,
we go.
I start those 2 weeks down in Spring Valley, Illinois, on the Illinois River.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, good. Well,
first tournament there.
So how do people get involved? Who do they contact, Jack?
On the ice side, for high school or regular, it's the NAIFC, which is North American Ice Fishing Circuit, NAIFC.com. Hit the website, and away they go.
All right. Well, Jack, it's a pleasure, and thank you very much for keeping us apprised of what's going on, and it's good to hear your voice. Drive safe.
We'll touch base over the summer. You have a great year.
Thank you, buddy. You take care, Jack.
Mark, Larry.
Bye. There you go, Lawrence.
That ain't fair. The local boys just cleaned up on that, huh?
It could be a bunch of Petersons, you know, from that clan.
Probably.
You know?
Probably somebody we know.
I would say.
Like you said, some sneak that...
Yep.
I had lunch there last year right on Lake Bemidji there, one of the nice places. I forget which one, a hotel.
Is it the hotel right there on the shores?
On the shores, and there was a ton of ice fishermen out there. It was Christmas time.
Yep.
I went down to meet Eric and Chrissy and exchange Christmas presents.
Good.
We didn't do it this year. And I know where they're fishing. I know.
They're out there.
They're
say
out there.
On a sadder note, obviously, I believe you made mention last week about Dave Genn's wife Patsy passing, and also a good friend of ours from Bemidji, Chuck Olson, passed this last week, and they'll both be sorely missed. Chuck was a great angler, and boy, he really tore it up on Rainy Lake for a few years, Lair. He and his partner Lauren Raz did some phenomenal fishing up there. Chuck's always a big guy with a big smile on his face. So
yeah, he's a great guy, and of course Gens and his wife Patsy. We talked to several times last week, and
okay.
Everything's the way it is. And the funeral is on Monday, by the way. If anybody knows Dave in the St. Cloud area, you can go online and Monday morning would all be right. Your Patsy's funeral.
Okay. All right. 763-450-0100 gets you into Bear Facts and Fishtails. And what else has been happening there, Lawrence?
Well, I was surprised over this southeast or southwestern Minnesota wanting to open up to rifles. And yeah. I know a lot of local people don't want it to be open to rifles, and a lot of people couldn't figure out why they thought it was a safety issue. And originally, it wasn't a safety issue, was not the reason that the DNR decided not to allow rifles. It was more of a harvest reason. They didn't want deer harvested as heavily. And back then, there wasn't as many deer down there. So anyway, okay. I was surprised at a number of people in the outdoor news that wrote letters saying they're opposed to the rifles, and of course some that are not opposed to the rifles. So I'm surprised there's any controversy over it at all. I do know that myself, if I hunted down there, I hunt in a heavily farmed area, but our land that we hunt is in the woods. We don't sit out in the open, but when you take a high-powered rifle on a flat field, obviously it carries a long way, but if you're on an elevated stand, which a lot of these people are in now in these fields, they're shooting down, which makes it more safe, right?
Yep.
But I was shocked. Well, anyway, in the letters to Outdoor News, one guy said, well, he didn't mind if they use high-powered rifles, but just so they weren't automatic. And I thought to myself, well, come on. What difference? Give me a break. You could, if you're a good with a lever action, with a bolt action, you can pump the rounds out at a running deer pretty damn fast. So it's just amazing with the idea that people come up with. I'm glad I'm not in the DNR to have to attend any of those meetings. That's all I got to say.
Well, yeah, it's not that you're throwing lead out there and crossing your fingers which one takes its mark. You know, there's something to be said. Remember when you started hunting, did you use a single shot, whether it was for pheasant hunting or, you know, in a shotgun form?
My first shot was a single shot.
Yep.
22.
Okay, so
lever at bolt action. Single shot bolt. Yeah.
My confirmation, or not my confirmation gift, but one of the gifts I got for probably passing gun safety or 16th birthday or whatever, I got a single shot 12 gauge shotgun.
There you go.
And I remember how you are so careful to make that shot count, because you don't have two to back it up. Remember?
Yeah.
You're different. If you know, the guy who's got the magazine, he pops into the 22, he's firing away. It's, you know, and you just keep going. But,
I went and bought a single shot 12 gauge shotgun 2 years ago. Just for grown guys. And my buddies all give me hell because why don't you buy a 410? I said, what if they're 40 yards away?
Yeah.
Standing on the ground at 40 yards away. Mm-hmm. You know? Uh-huh.
There you go.
So that's my thing.
you gotta do it. Oh, well. What do you do?
I still can't believe the look on Ron's face when I told him I shot him on the ground.
Oh, yeah, I remember that deal.
He was almost in tears.
Yeah. Bowling is Arkansas-ing something on the ground. Yeah, that was a classic. Oh, well, you know, I think it deserves some more discussion about this lead ban deal on fishing lures, because one of the things that anglers like yourself and I, who have spent some time on the water over the years, understand the lures that we use, and understand something about how they're constructed and what's going on. And I think this lead thing is, you know, this is personally, I think, can get blown really out of proportion really quick. We know that we fish shallow water, we fish medium depth, and we fish extreme depths. And the angler today, you know, a lot of anglers today, aside from just jig fishing, If you take jigs as an example, jigs, whether they're in a ball head for panfish or they go up to the walleye and bass side, mushroom heads, or they go into skirted bass jigs, you know, it's still, a lot of those baits are still made with lead. But when you go into hard baits, the standards on an international level are such where if you're going to penetrate the market at all, you have to use alternatives. So a lot of manufacturers of hard baits, by example, are all ballasted or weighted with zinc as an alternative to lead. And that's been going on for many years.
Long time.
Many years. So when they start talking about getting the lead out, and we've gone through this before, and that's the only reason I'm bringing it up, is that please understand you're going after such a small market because the cost of jigs are relatively ridiculously inexpensive. So that's where we're at. And a lot of anglers today are moving towards tungsten, whether it's using it for deep fishing and whether it's for jigs for deep water fishing or ice fishing as it's been used today. You know, there you go. But you've got to think about the if there are those loon deaths that are occurring, and you got to believe there's a couple here and there, that for the most part, a lot of that's done in what, Blair? Shallow water?
Well, yeah, I can't defend the whole deal on the thing because unless they have proof that loons are actually suffering from lead poisoning,
right,
which they don't have, I can't even get into that argument. I can't stand talking about it even, Mark. It just irritates the hell out of me.
But it's all the more that you make sure that you highlight and narrow down what you're talking about because getting the lead out is awfully broad.
Well,
it's awfully broad.
And you know because you know
I'm in the industry, right?
A lot of lures, yeah.
But I also call it kind of a pompous high ass kind of approach with these people taking a broad brush statement.
Exactly.
And that is what really gets me. And they know who they are, and I know they're listening. So there you have it. All right. With that, we're going to run for a short pause. Bear Facts and Fishtails, Mark and Larry. We'll be right back.
Bring the outdoors home with you. Mark and Larry have more Bear Facts and Fishtails for you. No filet house needed on Bob Outdoors. Everyone has their favorite movie of all time. Movie madness is taking over Bob Country. You spent all winter watching them, now rank them. We're starting off with 32 movies facing off head-to-head in their genres and narrowing down the victors round by round until there's only one movie left, and that is the greatest. What is the greatest movie of all time? You decide. Vote today at MyBobCountry.com and tune in Monday morning at 8:20 when we reveal the results of round one.
The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
If you or someone you know has a great mechanical aptitude, understands trailers, can weld, and is looking for a great place to get a new job, Crystal Welding wants to talk to you. Crystal Welding is your go-to welding and fabrication shop for solutions, service, and results. And they're looking for a trailer mechanic to start immediately. Work for Crystal Welding because they're great people who get the job done right the first time. So if you or someone you know is looking for a new welding job, contact Crystal Welding at crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No time to small because we do it all.
This is The Big One, the Minnesota Weapons Collectors Association's biggest and best gun show at the Minnesota State Fair Coliseum this weekend. antique to modern arms, accessories, and sporting collectibles, open to the public and all in one place. Buy, sell, or trade firearms, accessories, and collectibles. The Minnesota Weapons Collectors Association show at the Minnesota State Fair Coliseum, Saturday 8 to 5 and Sunday 9 to 3. For more information, visit MWCA.org. That's MWCA.org.